You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Goldhawk Fights Back for You on AM 740 Zoomer Radio. Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
In case you hadn't noticed, it's Credit Education Week. It happens every year. This is that week, and on the line to talk about it, Lori Campbell. She's the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. Lori, welcome back to Zoomer Radio.
Thank you so much, Dale.
Okay, Credit Education Week obviously is still badly needed because I guess we still need to be educated.
Well, you know, according to a report out today saying that Canadians are still in hot water with their finances and certainly debt levels are not going down. In fact, they're creeping back up again. Oh, we know that there's a real need out there.
You're talking about that TransUnion report saying the average is $26,768 in debt, not counting mortgages.
Yes, and
wow.
You know, it's frightening for all of us to see those numbers because what it tells us is that people are really living on the edge. And if we have, and when we have, I should say, not if, Dale, an interest increase and, you know, an economic downturn, which probably will coincide with that, people are going to be struggling quite a bit.
It means you at Credit Canada and others will be very busy with new clients is what it's the first thing it's going to mean.
Yes, and the fallout is so sad because it does really impact people's lives, as we found in our survey that we did as well. It impacts their lives so significantly.
Four out of five Canadians have reported making a financial resolution, you know, the New Year's resolution thing, and this four out of five also admit to cheating on the resolution. So we're back to zero.
So yeah, that was a surprising number for me.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's wonderful that four out of five Canadians do make financial resolutions. It shows that they are concerned about their finances. But the fact that the failure rate, basically one out of five succeed only with the resolutions that they make, tells us that there's something wrong with the resolutions that they're making. Maybe they're too strict or too severe or they don't know how to go about it. And the impact of failure is so great.
But we're lulled into that because of the low interest rates. We're, at least with those lines of credit, we're certainly lulled into very much a false sense of security, I think.
We certainly are. We're lulled into a false sense of security. Here we are. You know, we've got 5 weeks till Christmas, and a lot of people are starting to hit the stores already with credit card in hand. And those are not low interest rates. Those are 19 to 24%. And many people cannot pay these debts back in full after the holiday season and then start to carry large credit card debt at large interest rates. So unfortunately, we are lulled into a false sense of security by low interest rates and perhaps by an okay economy. But the truth of the matter is we're tripping up on the high interest debts.
Well, and at the same time, if you go into debt on Christmas 1, and you run into a little bit of trouble, you may still be paying for Christmas 1 when Christmas 2 comes along.
Exactly. So it's a domino effect. And in fact, you know, we see this over and over again. People are going into the holidays already on the edge, and they really blow it through the holidays, unfortunately, and then land on Credit Canada's doorstep, really desperate to try to resolve their financial situation. And it causes them so much stress. They're fighting with their spouse or partner. We found that 23% of Canadians have fought with their spouse or partner about their debt situation. 25% of them are don't feel they can provide for their families appropriately because of their financial situation.
Yeah.
So it impacts them on such a personal level.
And then on top of that, you pile on the Christmas shopping pressure, making your kids happy, making your spouse happy. Love equals how much you spent on the gift, blah, blah, blah. We get caught in those traps.
We as consumers are so caught in this trap of thinking that the more we spend, the more we care. And we have to get out of this mindset. I mean, I've often said to people, you know, do you remember what you got when you were 11, 12, 10? And they say, no, I couldn't tell you what I got. But they do remember the memories, you know, what the family traditions were, whether it be decorating the tree or, you know, having hot chocolate and making a snowman or whatever the case may be. And I think that as Canadians, because of our precarious financial situation, we need to be looking at traditional ways of getting through the season, which are memorable and not going to break the bank.
Do you remember anything you got it for Christmas as a kid?
You know, I remember one year when I was in grade 8, my grandmother gave me a ring. And the only reason that sticks in my mind is it was a signet ring. And because it was from my grandmother and I had it I've had it all these years, and she's passed away since, that it's a keepsake. Other than that, I couldn't tell you.
Well, no, I don't. The only thing I can remember is a dog.
Well, you remember that.
Not for Christmas, but for her birthday. And I think the dog cost $10 at the pound, so it wasn't exactly a major investment. But back then, $10 was a heck of a lot more than
it is
today.
And the cost of having the dog.
I guess nobody thought about that at the time. So there we are, credit cards in hand, ready to roll into some Christmas mode shopping. What are some of the things we can do to try to contain ourselves?
Well, obviously, and, you know, it's an age-old thing of making a list and you know, really making sure you put a dollar amount beside the list so that you know exactly how much you're going to be spending on each individual. You do some comparison shopping. You do that online before you get out to the malls. Very importantly is to talk to friends and family if you are limited, because chances are they are too. And if you say to them, look, can we just have a cap here, or can we cut back, or maybe go out for dinner instead, or do something else that's not going to be as costly, chances are they'd agree and think that would be a great idea. If you are going to use credit cards, and this is very important, you better write down every purchase you make so that you have a list. Because so many times, the new year rolls around, you open up your statement, you're like, holy Lord, I forgot about this purchase. Oh my gosh, I forgot about that purchase. And you've spent twice as much as you thought you did.
Some people will shop with cash. Is that a good way to control it?
It's a very good way to control it. I mean, cash is king when it comes to, you know, controlling your spending, because it really feels painful to dole out cash.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of taking large wads of cash, so just be careful if you're going to use cash. Debit cards could be good as well, but the problem is that you can get yourself into overdrafts. So, again, you have to track your spending if you're going to use any type of card.
And, of course, your age-old advice, have one card. Or maybe two. You've compromised with me and said, well, two. Maybe two, but not 10.
Maybe two, one and a half.
All right.
Maybe two, sure.
But not 10.
As long as you have control over it. I mean, it's all about control. We see more credit cards people have, the more debt that they have. So, yes, if you know, limit the number of cards you use. Make sure you go shopping on off-peak times. You can still do that. There's plenty of time before Christmas to take a Monday off. Go on any weekday evening so that you're not hitting the malls during the weekend, which is going to be incredibly insane and make you want to spend all your money quickly and get the heck out of there. And generally people overspend in those situations.
Well, yeah, and look what men do. They wander the malls on the 21st or 22nd aimlessly, feeling guiltier and guiltier, and then they make some large purchase hoping that will bail them out.
Yeah, you know, and sometimes the woman's looking at it going, what were you thinking? So, you know what? Here's the good advice to the men out there. Ask your significant other now what they'd like so that it, and I guarantee you won't be as expensive as what you buy the last minute, so you can actually get it early on and you're done.
And have a plan worked out with your spouse about the spending of money. I think that would be a good idea.
Exactly, because, you know, chances are you might both agree, like, you know, well, let's just have minimal gifts this year, so we can put the money towards something else. Often you tend to buy things that really your spouse doesn't need, really doesn't really want, and it's, you know, ends up in a drawer or in a closet or whatever it may be.
And how much do you think inviting your children to have a Christmas list adds to the temptation to overspend on the kids?
Well, I think that there's good and bad in that, Dale. I think that it's good to know what your kids want. So you may want to say a minimal list, not, you know, 3 pages long.
Not ending in a pony or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And tell them that, you know, you tell them straight up, certain items, if you want the mini pad or whatever it is now, the mini iPad or whatever the heck it is now, that's out, that's worth $400, that's not on your list. That's not doable, so don't put it on the list.
Have disqualified items that may not appear on the list. Yeah, and I think the other thing to watch for would be making sure that if you're carrying that debt month by month, well, you're paying at least what 18% if you're not paying it off, 18% every month, to try and dig down and remove some of that credit to give you a little more credit space. Does that make any kind of sense?
Oh, you've got it. You know, really.
Or get rid of it if you could. But for many people, they can't.
But
for many people, they can't. It's too much. It's too big an amount of money.
well, this is the problem. Yeah. So, you know, I think that you don't want to be making space on your credit card for more purchases. You want to be having a plan of action. We talk about resolutions now. You got to make a resolution to get control of your debt so you can delinquish it or relinquish it in a period of time that's reasonable. And I'm not saying that you need to do it overnight, because I think one of the reasons that, you know, we see such a high failure with financial resolutions is that people are trying to do too much too quickly.
Are you particularly busy in January after people get those bills?
It is our busiest time of year, January, February, when they start to get their credit card statements in. They realize how much they've spent. You know, it's a sad time of year because, you know, they feel horrible about it. They don't feel, you know, they don't feel it was valuable thing to do because, you know, everyone opens their present and goes, thanks, and that's it. Again, I come back to the memories over the holidays. And do things that are sustainable and that that are going to last over a lifetime for memories.
And I guess you shouldn't forget, and you've talked about this previously, we've talked it back and forth, establishing some kind of, making sure that you have some kind of budget that's in place for you anyway, and don't ignore the budget just because it's Christmas time.
Exactly. You know, I mean, in general, you should be budgeting in January for the following Christmas. You should be having an emergency fund.
Who does that?
Well, I mean, I think that some people do, you know. I don't think it's a matter of, like,
budgeting. Do you do that?
I never come out of Christmas with debt. I've never once come out of Christmas
with debt. Oh, well, you couldn't.
Debt.
It would be, you couldn't possibly. You came out of Christmas with debt? That'd be front page news. You couldn't possibly do that.
Well, you know, because I see the travesty that happens when people do that. I mean, you know, one of the things that come out of our survey, and this is a bit off topic, but just things the mindset of Canadians today is that, you know, 30% of Canadians are expecting an inheritance or the lottery to finance their retirement.
What kind? Yeah, I read that. A third of Canadians hope they'll get lucky, and that's our retirement plan, honey. We're going to go and buy lotto tickets.
And this is because, unfortunately, yes, things happen. I'm not negating that there are horrible things that happen that result in financial devastation for people, but much of it is misplanned or no plan as well.
Well, it certainly makes for a sad end to the whole Christmas season if you have that problem in January. There's no doubt about that.
Goldhawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740 Zoomer Radio.
It's 11:47. Laurie Campbell is my guest. She is the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions. You know, Laurie, for a lot of people, this can be a sad time of year if they already have financial pressures and they're going out to warm up their credit cards, blow it because it's Christmas time. It's sad at the time, and then it's much sadder later on.
Yes, it's correct. I mean, there's a lot of people that are in this situation, and I recognize that. And, you know, the only thing I could suggest is that, you know, you have time to do enough comparison shopping. It's still early on. It's not like the last week before Christmas. There's still time to do as much as you can to find the best deal and to find other ways of celebrating the season that's not going to completely break you.
But that's a good, I think that's a good point you're making as well, that if you get into this early, you have people you want to buy something for, the earlier you do it, the less pressure you're going to feel about finding the right thing, the suitable thing, later on when you start to panic and you forget the price tag.
Yeah, and that's exactly what happens. People start to panic. They forget. In fact, not only do they forget the price tags, they kind of have this mentality, I think, that, well, you know what, it may not be the best gift for them, but at least I spent a good chunk of change, so I don't feel as guilty.
At least it looks expensive. I hope they love it. Yeah, okay. And next week, next year, they re-gift it to somebody else. You know what I mean?
Yes, exactly.
Here's Jean on the line from Etobicoke. Jean, what would you like to say?
Dale.
Hi.
Hi, Laurie.
Hi.
Yeah, interesting show. I've been waiting for this particular subject. I had my own financial issues a few years back, and I'm finding that I'm concerned about the younger people. If they were to lose their jobs, as I have experienced, and you can't get another job, and you cash in RSPs, and then you end up owing the government, get garnished, then the only way you can get out of owing the government is to, you have to file bankruptcy. Because otherwise, I'll die before I pay anything back just trying to get jobs. I work in a grocery store, a very high-end grocery store. so that I can keep making money at minimum wage. I love it.
Yeah.
But I am appalled. I'm in my low 60s. I'm appalled to see how many people are paying for groceries on their credit cards.
Yeah.
Now, that would have been heresy. It's always been heresy.
Well, it was forbidden years ago. It wasn't, it didn't, and then suddenly you could use your credit card. Just like years ago, you couldn't use your credit card to buy booze, and now
that's
you can.
That's right.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And I am seeing not just, like, younger folks that are, like, young couples in their 20s.
Yeah.
They're being careful, but very rarely. I would say 1 out of 8 customers actually pays money. And, you know, it's usually the Europeans that have worked hard all their lives,
mm-hmm.
and they
mm-hmm.
can pull out a wad of cash, or there are other people like boomers or 40-year-olds or whatever. And but I'm seeing not just kids. I'm seeing like young parents with little toddlers in their 2s, 3s, and excuse
but,
me.
But Gene, maybe they're using debit cards. I wouldn't be so.
They're
bad,
doing
but,
them all. They're yeah. doing debit.
Yeah, well,
they're doing Visa. They're doing MasterCard, and they're doing American Express, don't you know? And they're getting cash back.
Oh. Yeah. Ooh,
well,
that always scares me.
If they're getting a cash back on a credit card, of course, we know the fallout of that is the interest starts immediately.
Exactly.
And it's a higher interest rate, isn't it? Laurie, isn't it generally a higher interest rate?
Usually a higher interest rate, depending upon the creditor, usually. And it starts, the clock starts immediately, and a lot of people don't realize that.
No grace period at all.
So I never realized when listening to all of the professionals telling us how badly in debt our society is. I'm seeing it. It's
you
no
could
wonder.
See it
and
firsthand.
You're living a dream.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gene, thanks very much for your call. I'm sure you agree with what Gene is saying, Laurie.
Yes. You know, a lot of people say, well, I'm getting points or this and that. Well, fine.
No,
if you're paying
please.
It off every month and you're not using that credit card for more than you normally would, fair enough. But that's not the reality of most people, and we know that by the stats and by the fact that Minister Flaherty and Mark Carney in the past have spoken out against the high indebtedness of Canadians.
But I guess if you just used plastic as a debit card, that would be fine, because you can't go over. If there's no money in the account, you know, the little machine goes tilt and you don't get to complete the purchase.
Sure, and the only caveat I'd have for that, Dale, is as long as you don't have overdraft protection. Because if you have overdraft protection
right,
on that, the clock starts immediately, and there's 21% interest, very high interest in overdraft. So as long as you don't have overdraft on your account, or you're not going to dip into overdraft, it's a reasonable method of payment.
Well, it's like the credit card itself. If you use it sensibly and you're able to pay it off every month, you're a free rider on the system, and it's good for you and bad for the banks.
Exactly. Now, there is a theory out there that just by using the credit card, you'll spend more. Even if you are paying it off every month, you're spending more on the credit card because you have it. Therefore, you're not putting as much into savings.
Right.
You
don't consider the purchase quite as carefully as if...
Exactly right.
Okay.
And, you know, I mean, so you have to ask yourself that question every time.
Yeah. Here is Lisa on the line from Toronto. What are your thoughts, Lisa?
Good morning, Mr. Daly and Ms. Laurie.
Hello.
My thought is Christmas is not like used to be anymore.
Yeah.
I find Christmas is more business than spiritly.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I don't give any more presents to anybody. We had a big family. And what I do... I put money for the grandchildren for their college and university.
Uh-huh.
And so my grow-up children, they need something for the house or a piece of furniture or food for the winter or something like that. So that's my presents.
Uh-huh.
For some other people, what I do, at my neighbors, probably they're not well off like I am. They have a very low income. What I do, I make a big dinner Christmas for everybody. I make extra food for them to take home, maybe extra soups. I put them in the freezer for them.
Right.
And I feel good about it because Christmas, like you see sometimes, they not even say Merry Christmas anymore. They say Happy Holidays.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I don't grow up like that. So what I do for some people who need it. Some people don't need it, I'm not there for.
Lisa, thanks very much. In other words, going back to a Christmas spirit that maybe we had in more abundance years ago than we do today, if I may say, Lori.
Yes, I agree. And I mean, you know, that's a nice story that she's just relayed that, you know, giving to those who don't need it. And if you could, you know, you really feel good after that. I'm not sure.
Giving to those who do need it.
Chunk of like a present that's, you know, just expensive. I think that if you can do some act of goodwill, it helps to bring that bring it back to where it should be.
Oh, and I know of families who every Christmas time amongst themselves, they pick a charity as well. And they all kick in to give money to a particular favorite charity. And I think, as Lisa says, maybe that gives you that warm feeling a little longer than getting a toaster oven.
Exactly. I know I had one friend who announced, I'm not giving gifts this year at all. So if you get a gift, she said, well, thank you, but I'm not giving gifts.
Yeah, okay. Period. That was it. Just, all right. And what did you say?
Fantastic. I thought, good on you. How brave.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Here's Vicki on the line from Scarborough. What do you say, Vicki?
I just have a comment regarding the lady who called in that she said she was appalled when she saw young people using their credit cards to pay for groceries.
And other people, too, yeah.
And other people. Well, we cannot really say that they cannot pay their credit cards. Some use their... I myself don't.
Yeah.
But some people do it to build up points.
I guess, but that's kind of a false economy, isn't it? If you got to spend to build up points, I mean, good grief.
But, but they probably can pay their credit cards on the due dates.
Yeah, well, if they can, more power to them. That's what, Lori, that's what you would say. Fine,
yeah,
if you
absolutely.
Pay it off, you're fine.
The
you're
reality
fine.
Of it is that, you know, sometimes there's a false sense of desire to use your credit card for everything to gain points. I mean, we see clients all the time, quite frankly, that come in, they owe $10,000 on a credit card, and they say, well, I can't pay my credit card, but I don't want to lose my points. Well, you're not going to be able to even use those points.
Oh, really?
All the time we see that. And so I think that I'm a fan. Believe me, I'm a big fan of getting what you can for free or getting what you can out of a system that perhaps gets out of you. So if you can take advantage of that, all the more power to you. But just make sure you're careful and you understand every purchase that you make and the consequences of making purchases just because you want points.
But the bottom line is points aren't free at all. You're paying for it somewhere in the chain. You're probably paying more to have that credit card and annual fees in the first place. So the points aren't free, right?
Yeah, usually you pay an annual fee, $125 to $150 for a points card.
Well, like I said, my credit card doesn't have annual fee, and I never use that to pay for groceries.
Right.
Okay. Well, thanks.
I just thought I'd give a comment.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Vicki. But then again, there's nothing wrong with using it to pay for groceries if at the end of every month during the grace period allowed by law, you pay it off.
Exactly.
You know?
I'm a fan of that. Using someone else's money for free is always a good thing.
Using the bank's money and not giving them extra money, I take that very seriously. I don't know about you.
I 100% agree, and I think that if people are savvy and can do that, all the more power to them. I just think that we as consumers have really not focused enough on our finances, on how we want to map out our future. If we hear about the lottery win, that's someone's financial future is to win the lottery, enough. And so we need to really start focusing on a map for our financial future so we can meet our goals and our resolutions.
Well, and the whole idea of Credit Education Week, I think, is to remind everybody about the power of that piece of plastic or several pieces of plastic that we have. It's not like the old days where you wrote checks for things or carried cash, but we have to come to some kind of realization about using the plastic carefully.
Exactly. And it's also about the power that we can take back and have for ourselves so that we can be successful financially.
Well, thanks for talking to us about this today. Have you got your Christmas shopping done?
Not yet. Hopefully next time I talk to you, I'll have it all done, Dale.
Okay, fine. Thanks a lot, Lori.
Thank you. Take care.
Okay, bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Lori Campbell. And she is the CEO of Credit Canada Debt Solutions, talking to us on the occasion of Credit Education Week in Canada. Think about the money that you're charging up and all that plastic you've got.
Gold Hawk Fights Back for You airs Monday to Friday, 11 to 1 on AM 740, Zoomer Radio.